broadcasting from the Kill Radio Newsroom in Los Angeles. Here is DJ Shy John with the weekly news from around the world.
And thank you, Brad, up there in Modesto. Today is Tuesday, February the 4th, and in the top of the news today, let me present you the Harper's Weekly Review, also dated February the 4th, 2014. In his fifth State of the Union address, President Barack Obama proposed increasing the minimum wage to $10.10 from $7.25, expressed frustration with congressional obstructionism, and announced plans to take executive action when legislation was being blocked, including by raising the minimum wage for federal government contract workers. "We have solutions to help you take home more of your pay through lower taxes," said Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, Republican in Washington, in the official Republican response. House Republicans heard a lecture titled "Robots for Humanity" at a retreat on the Choptank River, and the Obama administration announced that it would nominate the head of the Navy's Fleet Cyber Command, Vice Admiral Michael Rogers, to be the next director of the National Security Agency. Documents leaked by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden to The Guardian revealed that the agency had developed the capacity to access smartphone users' personal data through such apps as Angry Birds, and that the Canadian government had tracked citizens through the free wireless network of a major airport. The U.S. Air Force suspended nearly half the nuclear launch crew at Malmstrom Air Base in Montana after it was revealed that some had cheated on their ballistic missile proficiency tests. The Justice Department announced that the United States would seek the death penalty against accused Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, and asked American legal associations to begin helping nonviolent drug offenders prepare clemency petitions. Congressman Trey Radel, Republican, Florida, who was arrested in October for cocaine possession, resigned. And Congressman Michael Grimm, Republican, New York, threatened on camera to break in half and throw over a balcony a reporter who asked him about campaign finance fraud allegations. "I expect," said Grimm, "a certain level of professionalism and respect." What? What was that? Prosecutors appointed by Egypt's military government charged deposed President Mohamed Morsi with colluding to murder prison guards and escape detention, and confined him to a soundproof glass cage in the courtroom. An Italian appeals court declared Amanda Knox, who was found guilty, then acquitted of the 2007 murder of her former roommate, guilty. "I am a marked person," said Knox. Yeah, the Mexican government announced that it would integrate into its security forces a band of vigilantes from Michoacan State, whom it had failed to disarm, and arrested a leader of the Knights Templar drug cartel known as the Uncle. Citing ongoing protests in Ukraine, Russia stopped issuing payments from a $15 billion loan package it agreed to in December, and Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych took a four-day sick leave for a respiratory infection. Folk musician Pete Seeger died at age 94, and actor Philip Seymour Hoffman died in his apartment at age 46 with a syringe containing heroin in his arm. Football players at Northwestern University voted to form a union, arguing that they work more than 40 hours a week and generate millions of dollars in revenue for the school. This union-backed attempt to turn student-athletes into employees, said an NCAA spokesman, undermines the purpose of college and education. Well put. Employees at an elementary school in Utah took away lunches served to nearly 40 students and discarded them because their parents owed the school money. Yeah. Burglars in Florida stole DJ equipment from a special needs school. a gang took a single rhino horn from the Cork mansion of Detroit-born Irish dancer Michael Flatley, and three drug addicts detained for robbing a church in Italy told police they couldn't remember where they'd left a reliquary containing the blood of Pope John Paul II. Pope Francis blessed a green parrot belonging to a world champion male stripper. And Isaac Kramer, the director of the International Catholic Association of Exorcists, condemned an Arizona priest for performing exorcisms over Skype. If a person is fully possessed, the demon inside of them will not let them sit in front of the computer screen, said Kramer. It would be like trying to perform a baptism on someone through the telephone. Well put. The New York Police Department announced the promotion of an officer who had charged with meth possession two men carrying Jolly Ranchers. And a McDonald's drive-thru worker in Pennsylvania was arrested for selling heroin in a Happy Meal box. A barn fire at a dairy farm in Rossdorf, Germany, was found to have been caused by the interaction of static energy from a massaging machine with the burps and farts of cows. An environmental activist convicted of participating in firebombings across the western United States was sentenced to read a book by Malcolm Gladwell. What? George Zimmerman, who was acquitted on grounds of self-defense of the shooting death of an unarmed teenager, Trayvon Martin, in Florida last year, announced plans to participate in a celebrity boxing match. "I want to show him," said the rapper The Game, a potential opponent, "you can resolve your disputes without a weapon." Well put. This article written by Jacob Z. Gross. Except for the well puts, they were mine. Now, I have another article here for you, brought to you from Yahoo Finance. This is dated Wednesday, February the 5th. The middle class is steadily eroding. Just ask the business world. By Nelson D. Schwartz. This came from the New York Times. In Manhattan, the upscale clothing retailer Barney's will replace the bankrupt discounter Lohmann's, whose Chelsea store closes in a few weeks. Across the country, Olive Garden and Red Lobster restaurants are struggling, while fine dining chains like Capital Grille are thriving. And at General Electric, the increase in demand for high-end dishwashers and refrigerators dwarfs sales growth of mass-market models. As politicians and pundits in Washington continue to spar over whether economic inequality is in fact deepening, in corporate America there really is no debate at all. The post-recession reality is that the customer base for businesses that appeal to the middle class is shrinking as the top tier pulls even further away. If there is any doubt, the speed at which companies are adapting to the new consumer landscape serves as very convincing evidence. Within top consulting firms and among Wall Street analysts, the shift is being described with a frankness more often associated with left-wing academics than business experts. Those consumers who have capital, like real estate and stocks, and are in the top 20% are feeling pretty good, said John G. Maxwell, head of the global retail and consumer practice at PricewaterhouseCoopers. In response to the upward shift in spending, PricewaterhouseCoopers clients, like big stores and restaurants, are chasing richer customers with a wider offering of high-end goods and services, or focusing on rock-bottom prices to attract the expanding ranks of penny-pinching consumers. That would be us. As a retailer or restaurant chain, if you're not at the really high level or the low level, that's a tough place to be, Mr. Maxwell said. You don't want to be stuck in the middle. Although data on consumption is less readily available than figures that show a comparable split in income gains, new research by the economist Stephen Fazari of Washington University in St. Louis and Barry Sinemon of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis backs up what is already apparent in the marketplace. In 2012, the top 5% of earners were responsible for 38% of domestic consumption, up 28% in 1995, the researchers found. Even more striking, the current recovery has been driven almost entirely by the upper crust, according to Mr. Fazari and Mr. Sinemon. Since 2009, the year the recession ended, inflation-adjusted spending by this top echelon has risen 17%, compared with just 1% among the bottom 95%. Sounds like the fat cats are feeling pretty good, don't it? More broadly, about 90% of the overall increase in inflation-adjusted consumption between 2009 and 2012 was generated by the 90% of the overall increase in inflation-adjusted consumption between 2009 and 2012 was generated by the top 20% of households in terms of income, according to the study, which was sponsored by the Institute for New Economic Thinking, a research group in New York. The effects of this phenomenon are now rippling through one sector after another in the American economy, from retailers and restaurants to hotels, casinos, and even appliance makers. For example, luxury gambling properties like Wynn and the Venetian in Las Vegas are booming, drawing in more high rollers than regional casinos in Atlantic City, upstate New York, and Connecticut, which attract a less affluent clientele who are not betting as much, said Stephen Kent, an analyst at Goldman Sachs. Among hotels, revenue per room in the high-end category, which includes brands like the Four Seasons and St. Regis, grew 7.5% in 2013, compared with a 4.1% gain for mid-scale properties like Best Western, according to Smith Travel Research. While spending among the most affluent consumers has managed to propel the economy forward, the sharpening divide is worrying, Mr. Fazari said. It's going to be hard to maintain strong economic growth with such a large proportion of the population falling behind, he said. We might be able to muddle along, but can we really recover? And that was a question mark. Mr. Fazari also said that depending on a relatively small but affluent slice of the population to drive demand makes the economy more volatile, because this group does more discretionary spending that can rise and fall with the stock market or track seesawing housing prices. The run-up on Wall Street in recent years has only heightened these trends, said Guy Berger, an economist at RBS, who estimates that 50% of Americans have no effective participation in the surging stock market, even counting retirement accounts. Regardless, affluent shoppers like Mitchell Goldberg, an independent investment manager in Dix Hills, New York, say the rising stock market has encouraged people to open their wallets and purses more. Yeah, maybe for you. Opulence isn't back, but we're spending a little more comfortably, Mr. Goldberg said. He recently replaced his old Nike golf clubs with Callaway drivers and Adams irons, bought a Samsung tablet for work, and traded in his minivan for a sport utility vehicle. Good for him. And while the super rich garner much of the attention, most companies are building their business strategies around a broader slice of affluent consumers. At GE Appliances, for example, the fastest growing brand is the Cafe line, which is aimed at the top quarter of the market, with refrigerators typically retailing for $1,700 to $3,000. This is a person who is willing to pay for features like a double oven range or a refrigerator with hot water, said Brian McWaters, a general manager in GE's appliance division. At street level, the divide is even more stark. Sears and JCPenney, retailers whose wares are aimed squarely at middle-class Americans, are both in dire straits, Last month, Sears said it would shutter its flagship store on State Street in downtown Chicago, and JCPenney announced the closing of 33 stores and 2,000 layoffs. Lohmann's, where generations of middle-class shoppers hunted for marked-down designer labels in the famed back room, is now being liquidated after three trips to bankruptcy court since 1999. The Lohmann's store in Chelsea, like all 39 Lohmann's outlets nationwide, will go dark as soon as the last items sell. Barney's New York, which started in the same location in 1923 before moving to a more luxurious spot on Madison Avenue 2 decades ago, plans to reopen a store on the site in 2017. Investors have taken notice of the shrinking middle. Shares of Sears and JCPenney have fallen more than 50% since the end of 2009, even as upper-end stores like Nordstrom and bargain basement chains like Dollar Tree and Family Dollar stores have more than doubled in value over the same period. Competition from online giants like Amazon has only added to the problems faced by old-line retailers, of course, but changes in the restaurant business show that the effects of rising inequality are widespread. A shift at Darden, which calls itself the world's largest full-service restaurant owner, encapsulates the trend. Foot traffic at mid-tier casual dining properties like Red Lobster and Olive Garden has dropped in every quarter but one since 2005, according to John Glass, a restaurant industry analyst at Morgan Stanley. With diners paying an average tab of $16.50 a person at Olive Garden, Mr. Glass said, the customers are middle class. They're not rich. They're not poor. With income growth stagnant and prices for necessities like health care and education on the rise, he said, they are cutting back. On the other hand, at the Capital Grille, an upscale Darden chain, where the average check per person is about $71, spending is up by an average of 5% annually over the last 3 years. Longhorn Steakhouse, another Darden chain, has been reworked to target a slightly more affluent crowd than Olive Garden, with decor intended to evoke a cattleman's ranch instead of an Old West theme. Now hedge fund investors are pressuring Darden's management to break up the company and spin out the more upscale properties into a separate entity. A separation could make sense from a strategic perspective, Mr. Glass said. Generally, the specialty restaurant group is more attractive demographically. You're out there doing it, people. Well, that's the news. Please be good to each other in the coming week, and yourselves, stay out of the news.